Welcome to The Leader's Edge, where we celebrate leadership and shine a light on the visionary leaders shaping the future. Hey, I'm H.R. Huntsman, founder of Leader's Edge, creator of the Leader's Edge Performance Engine and Leader's Edge University. And I'm thrilled to bring you stories from leaders who are making a difference around the world. In each and every episode, we champion the innovative strategies, courageous decisions, and inspiring journeys of those who lead with purpose and passion. But whether you're looking to refine your leadership skills or you simply want to be inspired, my friend, you are in the right place. Today on The Leader's Edge, we're joined by a leader who's turning a legacy brand into a national innovation engine. This is Justin Presley. He's the CEO of Ramjack Foundation Solutions, and they are the company behind the patented helical systems and the Sign Dart platforms that's reshaping how critical infrastructure gets anchored and maintained. From national accounts to product innovation, Justin has been on the front lines working with Department of Transportation, engineers, and contractors to deliver faster installs, higher reliability, and solutions that actually save time and money on the ground. As a leader, he's a culture builder, an operator, and a community-minded leader who believes quality and integrity aren't slogans, they're systems you run every day. We're going to dig into how Ramjack scales craftsmanship, what it takes to commercialize a new product inside an established company, and the leadership habits that keep teams focused on safety, speed, and excellence. Welcome, Justin Presley. Justin, thanks so much for being on the show today, my friend. I really appreciate your time.
No problem.
So I read somewhere that you turned down a full ride to Juilliard to go to funeral director school. Is that correct?
That is true. Probably one of my biggest regrets. I could have been like the next Pavarotti or something.
So tell me about tell me the story. What's going on there?
At an early age, so my mom is a music teacher. Okay. And took piano lessons for 14 years, did all sorts of things. Maybe not 14 years. It was several years. It felt like 14 years. But I was always good enough to just get by without practicing. But eventually just got to where it wasn't important. But singing, so obviously you can tell I have a very deep radio voice.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm what's known as a basso profundo. So I could sing really low. Okay. And there was a few years I made this really elite group called the Oklahoma Summer Arts Institute. That's a special, they only select 32 people in the state. I did it a couple of years. And wow. one of our instructors was actually from Juilliard and walked up to me and was like, "Hey dude, I want you to come up." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, yeah." And it was my senior year and I was in love. And I was in love with two things. I was in love with a girl and I was in love with my mama. And I couldn't leave either one of them. I'm not going to lie, I'm a mama's boy. Always have been. Always probably will be. But yeah, and the weird deal is my mom. So the reason funeral director school is my mom used to play the piano at the funeral home for extra money. And so I spent a lot of time there. And I'd just go in and check out people and look at them. And it just fascinated me. And then I have a cousin that was in the business and it just worked. And so I went to funeral director school for a couple of years and realized that, pardon the pun, it was dead and it wasn't for me.
Where do you think, who knows, but where do you think your life would be now had you gone to Juilliard? You think you'd be a singer, professional singer?
I don't know if I've been a professional singer, but just with my ability to communicate on stage and do the things that I do. Yeah. That really is one of my biggest regrets is you don't know who you are at 18, 19 years old. You don't know what abilities you have, especially if you don't have people in your life that are breathing into you, like who you are and what your natural abilities are and tendencies are. And although my parents are great people and my mom, like one of the hardest women to please ever, but she loves me dearly. I didn't have a lot of people in my life that told me what my natural abilities were. And I didn't realize that until later in life, but I really and truly think that if I'd had someone coach me up at an early age to understand that I did have the power of influence and I had the power of bringing people together, there's no telling what I could have done. Now it's a completely different set of people, but being able to get people on board to do some things and to get people to follow you is an important aspect that I didn't realize I had at 18 years old. But just adding that tagline of I went to Juilliard and I graduated, like I'm a student of Juilliard, would be it would just change everything. And there's no telling where I would be.
Yeah. So we're going to get to the fact you're CEO of Ramjack. We'll get there. We'll get there in a second. So I'd love to hear your journey from turning down Juilliard to the funeral director school to now. Give me some key points along the way. Who did help shape you? Who did influence you? What good decisions did you make to get to where you are?
Graduated high school and graduated in May, moved out in July, and went to Edmond, Oklahoma to start funeral director school. Started working with my cousin that he basically helped me get the job. I mean, I'm 18 years old. I'm going to be an apprentice funeral director. Worked for a guy at Capitol Hill Funeral Home in downtown, like south of Oklahoma, south of downtown Oklahoma City. That was pretty wild, man. It was not a good part of town, but learned the ropes, learned how to do what we had to do. And then worked with a guy by the name of, his name was John Astle. And he was a funny thing is he and I had a lot of, I grew up in a Christian home and he was a Mormon. And so we had a lot of religious debates. But one thing that I noticed was he was a hard worker. He taught me a lot of stuff. My cousin, I worked for my cousin later, and his name's Sean. Sean taught me how to be very obsessive compulsive about appearance and about in the funeral home. I remember I would get so upset with him. He'd walk in and he'd run his finger down the rail of the on the wall. And if it had dust on it, man, it was like a it was the end of the world because it was all about presentation. It was and so I learned about and he's obsessive compulsive just about everything. Everything has a place. Whenever he gets out of the car, he always turns his air conditioner to off. That's just who he is every time. It doesn't matter how many times we get in and get out, he's turning it on and off. And so I learned from him. I did that for a couple of years, realized that college was not really necessarily for me. And I got out, I went to got into sales and realized that I had the power of persuasion and influence and learned to use that in sales and started selling cellular telephones. I've sold telephones, I've sold vacuum cleaners, although it wasn't a vacuum cleaner, it was a medical air filtration system, but it just happened to be a vacuum cleaner at your home. Yeah, it was crazy. But I learned key things along the way, got married, moved back to Ada, and started working with the Chickasaw Nation. And then a lot of people, the Chickasaw Nation, it's a big organization. I went from sales to accounts payable and started working in the payroll, or started working in accounts payable department finance. Went from making a lot of money to nothing. It was crazy. But I was in Ada, my wife at the time, she was going to school. And I did, again, smart enough to kind of get by. They introduced a new program, a new accounting software called Great Plains, which they had the old and like the old version of S-DOS, like CD backslash and all this stuff, and these huge ledgers of paper that to do the check runs and all the ledgers and stuff. It was crazy. And whenever we switched over to Great Plains, it's more Windows-based, right? So that's what I grew up on. And I just naturally gravitated towards that. Got to where I was doing the check run every week. That was a big deal, big time promotion. But I didn't realize that the check run introduced me to everybody who comes and gets checks. That introduced me to people that were in higher positions.
Interesting.
And then decided that I was going to actually accepted the call in the ministry. I was going to be a pastor and started, well, I was a youth pastor at the time and doing different things in church. Always felt like that was something that I was supposed to do. And pastors, directors who saw something in me and gave me a chance.
Yeah.
Buddy Drake in Allen, Oklahoma, gave me a chance to be a pastor or to be a youth pastor. And then talked to me, said, man, listen, dude, you have some abilities. You have the ability, you can communicate with people, but you need to get your ego out of the way. You need to get yourself out of the way. And that was a big thing for me. And I didn't realize that the ego portion of me that inhibited me from being successful wasn't necessarily ego. It was a facade that I was putting up that I didn't want people to know who I really was. Because if they knew who I really was and they thought that I cared and they thought that they knew that I cried when I got happy and they knew that I loved to be a classic. I loved to sing classical music and I loved to play the piano. It wasn't baseball and basketball. It was really drama. And it was really the arts that really fueled me. If they knew that I listened to classical music whenever I work in my office, that they would think I was weird or something. And but those people that breathed into me, people like Bill Lance. There's all sorts of people that have helped me along the way and had those hard conversations with me. But I ended up having back surgery. So I'm working at ChickasawNation, ended up having a back surgery. I decided I was going to go back to college and finish my degree at East Central here in Ada. Had back surgery, ended up starting my own business. I started a mobile detailing business. And in my mobile detailing business, I flourished for about a year and a half. And then a guy bought it from me. I went back to work with the Chickasaw Nation. And then that's really when I started understanding. I had a chance to design and do, I was the customer service representative for the Division of Housing. And in that role, I designed and developed my very first training on customer service training. And I got up in front of everybody, scared to death. And I took a chance.
Wow.
And when I took that chance, it changed my life.
What in the, I'm curious, let me jump in for a second. I'm curious, some of these early mentors or people that invested in you, what of those lessons you sit now as a CEO of a very large organization, do you sit now and say, that seed planted then, I'm using the fruition of that now in leadership? Can you connect some of those dots for us?
Yeah, so everyone that gave me a chance, they gave me a chance for a reason. And the reason they gave me a chance is because they got to know me.
Okay.
They got to know, they didn't look at the bravado.
Yeah.
They didn't look at the ego. They drilled down to who I was as a person. And those seeds that were planted then of someone gave me a chance. Now, whenever I dig in and I start getting to know people and they have that little spark for something,
Yeah.
man, I'm giving people a chance. Everybody deserves a chance. And we deserve a chance to fail and we deserve a chance to succeed. And a lot of people, in my opinion, that I've worked with, that I've given chances to,
Yeah.
some of them are afraid of success. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
Some of them, people are afraid of success just as much as they are afraid of failing. Failing's easier. Success is harder.
Sure.
But we learn so much through failure. But I would say that giving, just having the ability to be given a chance. The second thing is that every person that breathed into me told me that I needed to have a solid foundation, whether it be faith, whether it be family, whether it be something. I had to have something to believe in that was beyond myself.
Yeah.
And so that's what I try to instill in others is it doesn't really matter. If you really think about it, the people who are the most successful out there, they probably give more than they receive.
Right.
The people that are the most successful out there, they probably give more of themselves than they get from anybody.
Okay,
And
so
as well as I do,
general.
being a CEO, people hardly ever walk in your office and say, "Hey, how can I help you?" People walk in your office and they ask. So I have to find people like that that are helping me, that are saying, "Hey, come to me and talk to me," that type of thing.
Good. Tell us a little bit about RamJack. What do you do for those who don't know your products and services? What do you do? And then I want to talk about culture and all those things that make a great company. What does RamJack do?
So RamJack is a steel manufacturer. We manufacture driven piles for foundation supports. We manufacture helical piers, which helical piers are driven piles. It's just a literally, if you just take a piece of steel tubing and we drive it straight into the ground, and then we support your house with it. We do remedial work and lift someone's house. We build helical piles, which helical piles have been around since the mid 1800s, 1830s, and they are just a foundation support that act in compression and tension, which meaning that they basically screw into the ground. You can see the picture
See the
behind me a little
picture,
bit.
yeah, right.
That helical pile actually is like a, basically it's like a wood screw, like how the wood screw goes into the wood and locks.
Sure.
We do that in the soil. And so based on how much torque or how much horsepower we're torquing in that screw into the ground, all the science is there and our engineers have figured it out. Like at, let's say 7,600 foot-pounds of torque, we're going to be able to support 26,000 foot or 26,000 pounds. So that'd be 26 kips. And we manufacture those. We actually had a have a patented process and everything on that with our helical piles. And then we also, or we have the patent and everything. And then we build brackets. So setting on top of those piles or those helicals, we have brackets that either it's a new construction bracket that's being covered in concrete, or it's a bracket that actually slides up underneath your foundation. that we use to lift with. Recently, we've gotten into more different types of manufacturing. So we're manufacturing parts for DOTs, but we are a steel manufacturing plant that builds and supports foundational support products.
Tell me about the culture you want to build. You're a connection guy, you're a relationship guy. Tell me about the culture you want to build at Ramjack. What makes you special?
So the culture that we're trying to build at Ramjack, and we've been pretty successful. I took over about 2.5 years ago, and everybody looked at me like it's crazy because I said, hey, I got three rules, and they're backwards compared to what we've been in the past. The first thing is we're going to take care of each other. We're going to love each other. I'm not saying you got to like each other, because there's a lot of people around here that probably don't like me and I don't like them. But we got to love each other. There's a difference, in my opinion. We're going to take care of each other.
Okay.
Whether that means that you see somebody that needs help, I don't care what position you're in. If you see somebody that, you know, needs help, you help them. And you ask people if they need help. You reach out to people. The second thing is that we started is we're going to take care of our customers. And in my opinion, who's the customers? Everybody but you. So the second is almost just like the first,
right?
Taking care of each other. And then the third thing is we're going to sell steel. And in my personal opinion, in my life, and especially in sales, if I took care of the people around me and I took care of my customers, selling was easy.
Right.
It was almost like a byproduct of the relationships that I had built, because even if people didn't like me or care for me, they knew that I would help them. And so that's the culture that we have created and we've worked on, also doing what we say we're going to do. The culture at Ramjack has not always been that. A lot of promises were made, and I've been amazed at, in my position, this is the first time that I've been the main guy. I'm shocked at how many people down the line, all the way to the frontline employee, they listen to everything you say. And if I stand in front of everybody and I say, we're going to take care of each other, we're going to take care of our customer, we're going to sell steel, they expect to see that. They expect to see that lived out daily by me and by the rest of the team. But the culture has definitely drastically changed. We have very little turnover. We have very few people. A lot more people are wanting to come to work here. However, we're in a very small town. Our town only has 35,000 people in it in the surrounding area. So our talent pool is very limited.
Gotcha.
We do have a lot more people looking at us and looking to come to work here.
How do you, and I ask this with a lot of CEOs, how do you take an idea? We're going to take care of each other, take care of our customers, sell steel. We're going to do what we say we're going to do. How do you take those ideas, and you're a very large organization, and take it out of the local office and spread it to all the different offices, departments, you're nationwide? Like, how do you extend culture from your office?
So we're in the process of doing that right now.
Okay.
It's one of those things where we literally had to, I'm a firm believer that I can't tell you how to run your house if my house ain't clean. I can't give another husband or father advice whenever I'm not being a good husband and father. So I take that to my professional life. Like, I can't extend to other CEOs and business professionals how to do that whenever we're not doing it here at Ramjack. And so over the past 2.5 years, we have really spent cleaning up our house, and we're in the process of doing that right now. We're getting alignment. You, as well as, and my whole team knows, we're working with you on mission, vision, goals. We will, all the things that Leader's Edge does. However, one of the things that I will do is we're going to get all Ramjack folks together. We're going to help them understand what we have done to come together. And pardon the pun, we're a foundation repair company, or we're a foundation support company. We've actually built the foundation that we're going to build on.
Good.
And this company is a foundation repair company, but there was a lot of unknown foundational principles of why we were even here or what we did.
Okay.
And so we've had to establish that.
Yeah.
And then we're in the process of doing exactly what you're doing. And answer your question, I don't know. I'm working at that right now,
yeah.
But we'll figure it out. One
thing
I will say is that I'll get everybody in a room and we'll figure it out.
How are you changing? How are you growing? What I've picked up from you in our time together is that you have enough humility to learn and grow. So how are you having to change and grow, Justin, to lead this growing organization?
Man, it's so reading the book, what is it, Inner Excellence or something, it really helped me understand that showing people my heart and showing people who I really am is not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. And for people want to, the old phrase, and I don't necessarily like it, but people want to know you care before they anything else. And that was a hard one for me to under for me to let people know, because I put on a face and I put on this mask of I'm this wild, crazy, fun-loving, goofy guy. But when people know that I really and truly have a heart for them, and I care about their families, and I care about their kids, and I care about their success, and I care about their professional success as well as their personal success, and linking those two things together, that's probably the biggest area of growth that I've had. The second area of growth that I've think that has led me to that is understanding it's okay for me to invest in myself. Understanding it's okay for me to take time for me so I can be a better me. And if I'm a better me, I'll be a better me for them, that type of thing.
How does you're a very compassionate guy. You actually were the L, use the L word, love each other, take care of each other. How does that, some people may say that's mushy and gushy and all that. How does that play out in real business where you have to make tough decisions and hard calls and have hard conversations? How do you mix those things together?
Just try to be as authentic as possible. Authenticity is, to me, is the key to having hard conversations. And when people really know you, they understand that you're coming to them with an attitude of love, with an attitude of humility, as to say, hey, listen, we have to have this conversation. I'm not going to like it and you're not going to like it, but we got to have this. And I'm not doing this because I'm upset or I'm mad. I'm doing this because I love you and I care about you. And I love and care about the organization we work with and we work for. And so true authenticity is something that I work on a daily basis. Like, I always want people to know exactly who I am. You can ask all the people that work with me and for me and the people I know. This is Justin Preston. I'm this guy all the time. It doesn't matter if I'm in front of, I'm going to treat someone who is the lowest of lows in the society, in the eyes of society, as the highest of high. I'm going to treat them exactly the same, because that's how I view myself. I don't view myself as any better or worse than anyone else. I just had more opportunity, and maybe I've taken a chance, and I've chosen to go down the path that I've had. But I've also had people that have given me an opportunity and given me a chance. But I would answer your question: true authenticity, being my true self, and helping people see who I am, and teaching others to do the same thing. That's been the hardest part, is teaching others to, it's okay to be you, and we're going to love you for you, and we're going to care about you. Because I have six people that are on our executive leadership team. There's nothing that those six people can't solve if we're willing to accentuate each other's positive attributes and positive characteristics, and not focus on their weaknesses. All of us have weaknesses. But between the seven of us, we can figure it out.
Absolutely fantastic. What's on the horizon for Ramjack? Where are you taking the company in the next 3 years, 5 years?
Oh, man, we are in the process of doing some. We've changed our business model. At one point in time, we did not sell, but just to a collective group of people. We've started finding installers and people that can use our products across the United States. We have a team in place that are training those people to protect our brand. That's a big thing here at Ramjack, is we want to protect the brand. Our market and the business that we're in is being bought up by private equity. It's being bought up, and we're one of the last manufacturers that are still out there doing what we do.
Is that
You
right?
know, what we want to do is we want to protect our brand at all costs. But the main thing one is we want to sell steel and we want to manufacture. That's probably the biggest hurdle that we've had to overcome, is teaching people that we're not a foundation repair company here in Ada anyway. We have a foundation repair company. It's located in Texas and across town. But what Ramjack is, the corporate office, we're a manufacturer of steel products, and we do a really good job at that. And over the next 3 years, we look to potentially double and even triple our annual revenue by finding key individuals and working with our existing dealers and existing franchises that want to grow with us. Again, we have to get our house in order, and we've had to get our house in order so that we can build on that and help them and help us understand that it's a partnership. It's a partnership. It's a give and take on both sides. It's not one-sided. for them, and it's not one-sided for us. And that's really the biggest hurdle that I'll have over the next 2 years
Okay.
is getting everyone on board with that and understanding, like, we want to partner with each other to make us all better.
Love it. Let's finish with this, my friend. I want you to consider you're talking to that 18-year-old next Justin coming out of high school or maybe coming out of college or trade school. And now you have all this wisdom, and you got your gray hairs and you've learned a lot. You made some mistakes and you have some scars. And you want to help them have a great career, make a dent in the world, impact the world. What's your one piece of advice you give that young lady, you give that young man about how to build a successful career?
One thing, I would say, find something that you love more than anything in the world and figure out a way to show that to the other people and treat other people better than you treat yourself.
Love it.
That's really the key thing. In my money's great, but at the end of the day, you don't get to take that with you. And so I would tell them to do what they love. Honestly, for me, and the funny thing, people laugh whenever they realize that people laugh at that I'm running a steel manufacturing plant. And I
Yeah.
started off to go to school, like, and they find out about Juilliard, and then they realize I was a funeral director, and then they realize I sold vacuum cleaners, and then they realize that I sold telephones, and then I worked in accounts payable, and then I worked in a drug prevention program, and then I was a customer service court, all these things, right?
Yeah.
But everything that I did in my life has led me to this job. Every job that I had has came together for one job and one purpose.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that my job here at Ramjack is to love people and
Yeah.
help people be better than me
Yeah.
and help people be successful. And the people around me just make them better. And so that young person that's graduating, find something you love. Find people in your life that are going to make you better. The old adage is, show me your five best friends and I'll show you your future. It has never rang more true to me at 47 years old than
Yeah.
ever. And that's just the truth.
Yeah.
Your circle of influence, your inner circle, your outer circle, all those things are important. But if you don't have something you love, you got to find it. And whatever you love, chase it. Chase it with everything you got and find people around you to help you chase it.
Love it. It sounds to me like you're not really in the steel business or the vacuum business or the funeral. You're in the people business.
I'm in the people business.
Yeah.
And I also have enough humility to know that there will be a day. And I hope that it's sooner than later, just for everybody else around me, there will be a day that this job outgrows me. This job outgrows anything that I'm even remotely capable of. I'm trying to outrun my coverage now, learning and doing everything that we're trying to accomplish. But you have to put yourself. I'm not saying not take care of yourself, and I'm not saying not be proud of who you are and what you've accomplished, but don't let that stand in the way of allowing other people an opportunity to be just as successful.
Very good. Justin, thank you so much for your time, my friend. I really appreciate your wisdom and I look forward to keep working with you and the team. Thanks.
No, thank you.
That's it for today's show. Thank you for joining us on The Leader's Edge. I hope today's conversation inspired you to lead with even greater purpose and impact. Here are my big three takeaways from my conversation with Justin. Loved our talk. Loved his insights. Number one, everyone deserves a chance. He talked about all the different people that gave him a chance along the way. Even sometimes when he may not have deserved it, he carries that into his leadership. Now, everyone deserves a chance. And I love when he said, everyone deserves a chance to fail, not just succeed, to fail. Everyone deserves a chance. The second thing, I loved how he keeps it simple. So keep it simple. Well, he had three rules: take care of each other, take care of the customer, sell steel. And then the third one came across very clearly, and I wrote it down in my show notes as create places of compassion. He talked about, he said, love your people. He said, love a lot, compassion a lot. Purpose and meaning matter. Compassion matters. Connection matters. And he has built his entire leadership journey on compassion and connection before he ever gives direction or correction. Good stuff. Listen, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'd love a 5-star review. on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us reach more leaders just like you, and that's the entire point, is to help sharpen leaders. Stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, leadership insights, and updates on future episodes. Don't forget to check us out at yourleadersedge.com and follow us at Leaders Edge Podcast on all major platforms. So until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, keep leading at the edge. I'm HR Huntsman. I'll see you soon.